All right, we are continuing on with transforming the data center immersion at MMS 2013. We just had one module already with the Infrastructure Foundation, and now we're moving to the next one, Dynamic, right?
That's right, David. So with this one, we built the fabric and we've made sure that we have the thing on a resilient fabric. And now we're going to show you some of the cool dynamic capabilities that Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V allow you to take advantage of. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to talk a little bit about the different scenarios that we could talk about within this infrastructure fabric. And then after we go through these, we'll go into hands-on lab and do some work there in the demo. So in this environment, we actually just showed you what it was in the last session, the shared nothing live migration. So I'm just going to fill it out a little more and kind of explain what we saw that last session. And that is, you know, as we consolidate all these different workloads, someone like the Kathy or the CIO wants to pull all these resources together and put those virtual machines on the best sources for there. But not necessarily those VHD files that are running are on shared storage. So I got to move that virtual machine from one box to another. And this is one way we can do it with shared nothing live migration. And it's pretty simple in how shared nothing live migration works. We can take these virtual machines and move their storage and the virtual machine without any downtime. And we do that by, well, the virtual machine's being accessed. And so people are running it. We kick off shared nothing live migration. And over the network, we will start copying all of the information, the configuration of the virtual machine, and then all of the VHD files. And that could take a little time or a lot of time, depending on how big the file is. Once we finish copying that, then we're going to split the writes as we copy the contents of memory and any memory changes or state changes that happen while we're doing this copy. Once all that's done and the virtual machines are synced on both sides, we will then pause the first one, start the second one, and turn off and delete the VM on the first machine.
With very little to no downtime.
There'll be no downtime as far as the application is concerned. It's within a TCP timeout, and basically you ping it, you may not even lose a ping when you're doing this.
Right, and you know, this illustrates a good point of scenarios, right? So we showed how you can do the live migration from kind of that legacy infrastructure, right, where you don't have that resiliency, and then and then setting up the Hyper-V replica. But you know, this is another kind of scenario, right? Well, maybe it's not just that you want to move that resource to a higher availability one, but maybe it's a capacity thing too, right?
Exactly.
I mean, maybe in this case, right, your one server is heavily loaded, and you just need to balance that across the hardware that you have.
Exactly. Whether it's hardware because of load, whether it's hardware because, well, I just got these two servers and I don't want these two same web servers running on that same box. I can move these things around now, whether or not they have shared storage. And that gives you the ultimate flexibility when you're running a virtualized environment or moving to the cloud OS. All right, then the next one and the last one we're going to talk about here is that I have this underlying infrastructure. And as you'll see throughout the day or throughout these sessions is that you have to make sure that application, that service, whatever, is running. In this case, SharePoint being an infrastructure for running all my different SharePoint websites. If it goes down, I need to be able to recover quickly. In this example here, I'm monitoring, and you'll hear monitoring as a theme throughout the day, this application. And what happens is if something goes wrong with that application, Operations Manager will get an alert through the monitoring. Then it will start a process. I can do it a couple of ways. I can have Orchestrator monitor that task and start doing things. But not only will it start monitoring and building out the new SharePoint or whatever I'm doing, it'll also start alerting things like Service Manager. Or I can use Service Manager to monitor the Operations Manager alerts, get an incident created, and then kick off Orchestrator. I got both ways of doing it. But what I'm really trying to do here is I'm trying to ensure that services are updated and fixed and the problems are resolved and then get the page instead of getting a page and not knowing what I have to do to fix it.
Right. I mean, as you know, Sarani, I believe, is who we're calling her, the IT admin.
That's right.
She's like, you know, you don't want that. You don't want that 3 a.m. page or call, right, that you have to get up and fix it. And if you really are going to get that page, you probably want it to just be, oh, it's all fixed, right? It's like Jedi tricks.
Exactly,
there you go.
Exactly.
It's the problem has been solved, all right? Yeah. And it's solved, right?
These are not the errors you're looking for.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
No, but the biggest thing here is that you always do these five tasks. Every time a web service goes down, every time a SharePoint server goes down, I do this. I restart the pool, I maybe reboot the server, I delete a log or something, every single time. So why do I have to do that? Why can't I set up an automated task that does those things for me? Now, if it doesn't work, I get the alert, and now I know I've done all the quick things, and I really got to use my brain. But before, why do I have to do these brainless tasks when I know exactly one of those is going to fix it most of the time? And then to finish it all up, we've opened that service manager ticket. We maybe then replicate that first database off the SharePoint server and put it on the other SharePoint server, or somehow we have some automated process to fix it, and that's what we've done inside this demo.
And that's where Orchestrator and those runbooks really come into play on creating highly customizable actions like this.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to talk about what does this dynamic infrastructure mean, and we're going to basically break it down into three different scenarios. The first scenario here is how can we expand the underlying storage capacity on the fly without interrupting the service of the application running upon it. Secondly, we're going to ensure that the applications themselves don't negatively impact other machines running on that same infrastructure by dynamically limiting the amount of network throughput this machine can have and then giving it back. And then lastly, well, SQL sometimes needs a lot of memory, right? And not always do you have that enough assigned to your machine. So how can I dynamically, while the machine's running, give it more? And then SQL, with SQL Server 2012, will recognize that and take it. And so we'll show you all those pieces right here in this lab.
Let's see it.
All right, let's flip over to the environment. And as you can see, we're on dynamic infrastructure. So let's hop over into that. And really the big story here is, like we've been talking about, Richard and Sarani have built this nice, resilient infrastructure. And now let's take advantage of it and do some of these things that will allow me to expand capacity and basically dynamically adjust what's happening without affecting the running application upon it. So if we start this, the first thing we're going to do is go into Service Manager and look at one of these cool new features of Windows Server 2012, and that is storage spaces. My storage spaces environment is running, but I'm starting to run out of disk space. What can I do to give it more without impacting the underlying resources that are running on there? All right, so I've connected inside of here, and I'm going to connect to my server that I'm going to be using for this lab. And that is Sales App 101. So let's just add that server here. And we'll type in the name. So with Sales App.
And for those of you, I mean, the Server Manager, it's obviously we dive in now into a server specific feature, but Server Manager is very powerful, a huge improvement over what we had in Server 2008 R2. You have the ability to control not only Server 2012 machines, but even previous operating systems like Server 2008, Server 2008 R2, assuming you install some things on the OS to automate tasks, add things, get views. So it's a good console for those folks.
It's a great console for getting that detailed information and for doing things. Like, I need to install a role or a service, I can do it through Server Manager. I need to look at my things like storage spaces or remote desktop services or IIS in this example. I can do them all through Server Manager. And it's context sensitive, meaning that if I have four different servers and one server is in Active Directory, then I'll see some Active Directory stuff down here. But if none of them are Active Directory, I won't see it. And so it looks at what's on the server, pulls out the different roles, and only shows you the things that you need to view because of the server that you have installed on there. And we're going to go through Files and Storage Services. Under Storage Pools, we're going to see all the different pools available to me. And we see that we have this pool here called Pool 1. And that's the pool that this machine is using to serve up the databases. And if we scroll over here, Server Manager gives me a nice little green, yellow, red as far as, am I using the disk space efficiently? Do I have enough left? And as you can see, I'm starting to run out. And that's okay if I had fixed provision disks, but if we look down here, I got one disk that's fixed provision, but I have another one that's thin, meaning it's going to need more and more space as I add more and more space and expand on the fly. Well, I need to make sure I stay ahead of that and get those disks into that system beforehand. And with Windows Server being hot pluggable for storage, or if I have extra disks attached to my JBOD or whatever, I can now just start using those disks by adding them to the pool and expanding my capacity.
Yeah, so just to kind of summarize, right? I mean, I like to think of there's kind of two levers, right? So you've got your big storage pool, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of abstraction under that. The one lever is what you mentioned is adding other disks into that pool on right. the fly and just adding that. And then the other one is, like you also mentioned there, is the thin provisioning, right? So you're saying, exactly. hey, I have more capacity for this than is really
physically
even
there,
physically right. there. And then you can, you know,
add
to that area as well. Yeah,
exactly. And that's important because Bob in accounting or Terry, the database administrator, says, well, this database application that I'm installing is going to need 2 terabytes of disk. Really, day one is going to need 2 terabytes? I doubt it.
Right.
I mean, maybe in 2 years, after it's been running for a while, I'll need 2 terabytes.
Right.
So why do I give it 2 terabytes? All I need to do is say, okay, Terry, here's the disk. And see, hey, it's 2 terabytes.
See, it looks
size.
2 terabytes. Uh-huh. That's more of the tricks we have, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
And then I just make sure I stay ahead of the game. Now, if I don't stay ahead of the game, that's when trouble happens.
He calls your bluff, and then he says, hey, it's not 2 terabytes. What's going on?
But, you know, most of those times you'll never count that. And that's where monitoring and
that's where monitoring
looking
comes
at
in.
Your system,
yep.
you'll find that out and you'll replace it or add the disk before it'll even come to it.
Absolutely.
So I have these 2 extra disks that aren't, or these are the 2 disks that are in the pool. I have extra disks that I need to add to the pool. So why don't I add some to this pool? So I'm going to add a physical disk. And as you see, I have 2 other disks, physical disk 3 and 4. Well, I'm going to choose both of them. And the reason I choose both of them is because, well, one, I can, but 2, I want to add 1 to expand capacity, but the second one I want to add as a hot spare. Now, I have built-in redundancy, so if I lose one of these disks, I can recover the data on that hot spare and gives me more time to be able to get that new disk and add it into the pool. Mm-hmm. So all I have to do is add those disks by just clicking those 2 boxes, filling out that box, and now I have more there, and you can see it's all green.
That's right. We like green, right?
Exactly.
Green is good.
Green is good. But it doesn't go there. Well, Terry at accounting, I mean, Terry the DBA said, hey, I need more space.
But wait, there's more.
Exactly. And those spaces, all I had to do is extend that virtual disk I've given him. He said he needed 30 gigs, and I only had given him 20. So let me give him some more space. And so I say the size I want it to be is 30 gigabytes, hit OK. And now we're taking advantage of the resources that we added there and making this disk bigger for him. All he has to do now is start using the space.
Yep.
Exactly. So that is one way to dynamically expand capacity underneath through the infrastructure without him even knowing. So I, as IT, can manage my infrastructure independently of the applications running on top.
Right. And we've shown you this using Server Manager. There are other means, of course, to automate these processes as well if you don't want to use Server Manager, for instance.
One thing I did was I actually created an Orchestrator runbook, and one of the Orchestrator runbooks just pulled up the server source spaces PowerShell commandlets and just ran PowerShell against it to add a new disk, increase space, and all that kind of
there
stuff.
There you go. There
exactly.
you go.
Exactly. The next one we're going to do, now that we've added enough space for him, and I'll close the server manager out right here, is we want to look at the network utilization. So these environments run very effectively, and I have a lot of virtual machines on a box. Well, what happens if all of a sudden VM1 or, you know, Terry's database VM isn't getting enough network resources because Luis has another application that's maxing out the bandwidth? Mm-hmm. Those noisy neighbors really can affect my tier one applications. So what I need to do is be able to proactively adjust the resources assigned to these different virtual machines and effectively limit virtual machines that are chatty and don't need to be, or give priority to virtual machines that really need that access. And that's what we do through network quality of service. So what we're going to do here in this demo is show you how we can affect and change the amount of network traffic that's running through a system and effectively get rid of those noisy neighbors and give that resources available to the people who need it. So I'm going to open up Internet Explorer here, and I'm going to attach to an application that's going to connect to my sales application and test the amount of throughput I'm getting. Mm-hmm. So right here, basically what I'm going to do is I'm looking at the perfmon counters and I'm seeing what is the percentage of utilization for that system. And we're going to do that by going to this perf site account. Now I'm just going to copy this over here because it'll make it easier for me to type it in.
And QoS is a quality of service, or QoS is a, obviously most folks are pretty familiar with what that is, and we're showing you how we can utilize those core kind of standards to implement this network.
Exactly. I mean, quality of service says that this machine, I guaranteed, or I want to provide this amount of capability or access, and I set this quality of service for them. So yeah, when we say QoS, we mean quality of service, which, right, like you said, is a pretty common industry term. Mm-hmm. So now that I've connected to the performance site, you can see I'm not using much traffic. Well, let me throw, with that Chaos Monkey application that we have, let me throw some traffic onto the wire here. So again, I'm going to open up another tab here, and inside that tab, I'm going to place a load on the system. So I'm going to open up the control app that we have for that particular application, and I'm going to add network load. And really what we're doing here is taking an environment that is running basically at no resources, and we're going to hit it with as much traffic as we can. You're going to see gigabyte to 10 gigabits of network traffic. And if we flip back over here, there it goes.
We're that monkey was busy at work firing a bunch of network traffic there, right?
Exactly. Now, all my other VMs are going to be negatively impacted because this guy's taking up all my resources.
Yep.
So what do I want to do? Well, I want to set and limit the amount of bandwidth this one can have. So even though it wants to use all that network traffic, I'm going to cap it at a specific maximum.
Let's do that.
And to do that, we're doing it through VMM. So I can do this many different ways. I can go to the Hyper-V manager and do it, but I have, as a service provider in my organization, basically I want to try and treat this as like multiple levels of offerings. Mm-hmm. So what I've specified is that I have a gold network of offering for high bandwidth, I have a silver and a bronze. Depending on who you are, I might give you more access by just assigning you one of those traffic. So if we go into Virtual Machine Manager, we see the different hosts. And if I go to my virtual machine, which was on host 4 that we moved it to last time, maybe it's moved over because of dynamic optimization, but I think it's still here. So let's scroll down, and there we go. That looks like sales. That store is 2028, so it's down
further. We need to go to the host.
We got to go to sales app 128, and there it is, right there.
Right there, yep.
Right-click on it. Oops, let me click on it, and we look at the properties of the VM. So every virtual machine has things like CPU, network, storage, hard disk. We've looked at this before in the Hyper-V manager. VMM, the same thing. We can see the hardware of the VM. But what we can see down here is the network adapter. And that network adapter is assigned to our corpnet, our corporate environment, and it's using a logical switch. So a new thing with virtual machine manager and Hyper-V and everything is the software-defined networking piece that allows me to define these different network virtualization schemes, but also set up these virtual switches. And we've created a logical switch here that's assigned to CorpNet 01, so it's on the physical network, and we have given it a classification of high bandwidth, meaning this virtual machine gets to use my high bandwidth tier, gets all the access to all the network that it wants.
That's your gold tier, perhaps,
that's
right?
That's gold tier, exactly.
There you go.
These guys are important, so I want to give them the full access. Well, now this guy's using up way too much resources, so let me move that to low bandwidth. When I do that, it will apply those quality of service settings to the virtual machine, and what we should see is that in a matter of seconds, it's going to drop down to that 100 megabyte of traffic that I've given it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it wants to try and use it, it's trying to use as much network as possible. Hyper-V, because of the quality of service, is limiting how much traffic this machine can have to go out to the physical network.
And, you know, I'm sure that in the later modules, I know we have things that are on the monitoring and some of the other capabilities,
sure.
That you could, I'm assuming, you know, set this up to be an automated fashion and say, hey, when this thing hits a certain utilization,
right,
I wanna automate this, kick it down so that it's not hogging everybody's resources.
Exactly,
right?
And that's where the integration between our operations manager, service manager, orchestrator, and all of System Center components can allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, I could say, well, hey, this VM's important, and this VM's stealing all the resources. So I could either cap that one or guarantee a minimum with the other one, and I have all those different options inside of System Center here. Well, now the guy, you know, after I do this, Terry calls me up and says, hey, I need to copy that large file, so give me that resources back. Well, let me do that. And that's pretty quick and easy. Go back to Virtual Machine Manager, go back to that virtual machine itself, open up the settings there, and go down to that network adapter again, just the same steps I did, and on the fly I can specify that now we'll move you back to high bandwidth so you can finish your large file copy or whatever it was that you were doing, and you'll be on your way. So there we go, hit OK. And if we flip back over to here, we can see not only one, it's going to take effect. He's now going to be able to use that traffic again, and we'll be able to then shut down this Chaos Monkey application. So come on, there it goes.
There we go. Pulling yeah, it's back. Kicked in.
And now let's say he's finished his file, and I can drop the network load. So now you've seen both sides, that we can dynamically change those resources underneath like we did with storage, or on networking, I can specifically specify how much resources he can take or use on that system.
So that really shows the dynamic infrastructure specifically with networking.
Exactly.
In this case, what else? What other tricks do you have up your sleeve?
The last trick, and I think it's a fun one, is what can we do with memory? Memory is super important for a lot of applications, especially virtual machines. Oops, hit the wrong button there. Let's go back to the end of this lesson here and pop over to scenario three. But memory doesn't work, and it doesn't help me if all I have to do is I use up all my RAM and I'm swapping all the time. I mean, it doesn't help that I can access all this RAM if I'm having really slow access due to accessing the disk. So if I'm monitoring my SQL application, my SQL server, and it starts using all of the resources, I need to be able to dynamically expand that thing without shutting the machine down.
Right.
And with Server 2008, we allowed you to create this thing called dynamic memory. 2008 R2 allowed dynamic memory in VMs, but I would set a maximum, and it can never, that maximum can never be extended except if I shut down the VM. With 2012, I can now extend that RAM by bringing it up to whatever value I want. As the VM uses more resources, I can even say, give me more, and give me more, and give me more. I can't shrink it without shutting it down, but we use dynamic memory and the ballooning mechanisms inside of Hyper-V to pull that RAM away if we want to. I can do that many different ways. I can go into Hyper-V console and do it, I can automate it, or I can use PowerShell. Now, one thing we haven't showed you yet is that with Windows Server 2012, PowerShell has been really updated and really it's been brought to the layman, I would say, because now there's a lot of things I can do in PowerShell that before took me a lot of typing and a lot of how does that command work and what are the parameters I need to use. With PowerShell now, those are all tab completes or whatever, and it makes it so much easier to figure out how to deploy this application. So here I've got the PowerShell ISC environment, and if we look inside of that, I can type in a script and I can run the commands down here. We're going to bring that up so we have the whole console here that you can see. And I'm going to run a few PowerShell commands that allow you to really see the power that, one, PowerShell gives you, but two, the changes that we can do dynamically to affect a running virtual machine.
Right, and this is, you know, of course, PowerShell is going to be an even more powerful thing when you combine that in with Runbooks, Orchestrator, and a lot of these other things.
Absolutely.
To where you can just automate it all, right?
Right, so within Orchestrator, I can just create a Runbook item that is all PowerShell scripts.
Yeah.
And those runbook items I can drag and drop, and I can pass in it variables, and I can pull those variables out, and this gives me that flexibility. The other thing is that with things that are loaded on your system, it just automatically knows where to find them. Like there's a command import module. And import module, so import M, and as see how things start coming up, I can hit the tab key, it'll tab complete it. But because I have a module called Virtual Machine Manager already installed on this system, I don't have to remember how to type it. I can just start typing virtual, and with tab complete, it'll find that virtual machine manager because it knows that's one of the modules that I have deployed. So it's a lot smarter than it was before.
IntelliSense, I believe, is what they call that. It's pretty pretty fancy.
And as you can see here, I have basically just over a gig of RAM assigned to this virtual machine. Well, a gig is hardly ever enough for even SQL Server to load, let alone actually do a lot with it, and as we'll see in this next step, we're going to connect to SQL Server Manager and see how much RAM it actually wants to use.
I'm guessing there's probably a lot of disk thrashing going on right about now.
I would imagine, especially with the way we're hitting these applications when we run some of those control apps and that Chaos Monkey there.
Yeah.
So let's wait till this comes up, and what we're going to do as we connect into the environment is we'll just open up the database and look at the properties and see exactly how much RAM that it's going to be taking. and I'll log into that sales app 128. And as we connect there, the database itself, if we look at the properties, quickly you can see it's using all of it. Can't use more because there's not more available.
There's not more available,
but it's using
yeah.
every single piece that it can. So what can I do? Well, for most part, before I'd have to shut down the machine, I'd have to give it more RAM, boot it back up, but that entails outage and nobody likes an outage.
Nobody likes that.
So for me, I am going to just, let's up this RAM itself. Okay, so now, instead of typing it in this time, I'll just go through the PowerShell console.
I think we'll let it slide this time. You've showed us all the cool tricks of the PowerShell.
Thank you very much. So I'll just type it in here, and I'll do a control and a paste, and then I'll just go back and switch the value for my particular machine I'm dealing with here, which is 128. And at this point, if I did everything right, we should see that the virtual machine will now have 4 gigs of RAM assigned to it. Successful command run, and if you go through all this, you'll see that it does have 4 gigs assigned to it. But instead of doing it that way, let's just look at SQL Server again here and right-click on the properties. And if we're lucky, we're now using 2144 megs of RAM.
It's using all that it needs.
I even got a little extra. Then if it needs it more, I can take it. And then later on, I can just give it more if I need to. So those are the power of having this dynamic capability inside of your virtual machines. By having all that dynamic virtual machine power and being able to move it around wherever I need to, like we talked about in the first scenario, being able to dynamically expand the resources underneath or dynamically limit or pull it away and move it and give those resources to whoever needs it, I as an administrator can take full control of my utilization of the underlying resources and guarantee those resources to the people that need it.
Yeah, and you know, I know in this case, right, we use PowerShell for the IT people that like to kind of get a little more nerdy. But you know, the other thing to point out really is that right through VMM and through the GUI level consoles, you don't need to know the PowerShell, right?
You can
just click through a couple wizards or even set it up to be an automated fashion, say, hey, when SQL hits that capacity, hey, just increase it.
Exactly.
And you're just hands off, right? You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but the main thing is that if you want to use PowerShell, you can.
That's
the thing.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of PowerShell anymore because it's not worth it. You can do a lot with it.
Right.
And not only PowerShell, but everything else, like you said, orchestrator, automation, monitoring with Operations Manager, pulling it all together, and that's where you turn a virtualized environment, a regular data center, and you transform it into the Cloud OS.
Right. And as an IT guy, right, I mean, there's, you know, think about kind of up-leveling, I think, your job, right? Because, you know, you as the IT guy, you don't want to be there manually creating VMs and manually doing all this stuff. Get comfortable with all these automation techniques and these types of solutions there to where you're really becoming a business enabler for your company.
Yeah,
you know?
And I keep talking to people when they keep asking me, and I say, you know, don't do that grunt work anymore. You don't need to. You can elevate, like you said, elevate your status within the organization by being able to take advantage of all these things.
Yeah.
And this is just the start. You should see all the other stuff we're going to be talking about later today.
Coming up. All right. Well, thanks for this module. We're going to wrap that one up.
Thanks.